destruction that it has brought. And there's a new one now, Milton. Got to pray against Milton. This terrible hurricane, Helene, has brought devastation everywhere it passed. And it has affected many states, cities, homes, businesses, and even churches. Our church was without power last week, and we were not able to meet for several services. Thanks and praises be to God on high that we are here today because the power has returned. Amen. Now, as I thought about our loss of power, electrical power, that is, God gave me a different sermon for this week. Sorry, Peter. I'll go back next week to Peter. My question for us this morning is this. Do we have power in Christ? Do we have power in Christ? Now, the obvious answer for that question is yes. We do have power in Christ. But when I answer that question, other questions pop up in my head. Like, are we full of God's power? Are we using God's power to the max in our lives and in the lives of this congregation? See, when the power goes out, we have to depend on and wait for the electrical company, right? Don't we? And whenever they feel like it, they bring the power back. Sometimes you have to wait 4 days, sometimes, you know, even more. In our case, in the case of this church, in the case of our Christian life, God's power never goes out. Do you know that? God's power never goes out. Or even diminishes. His power is the same. The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same power. The same power that created the universe. The same power that was with the prophets and with the apostles and with the early church is the same power that we have today. It's the same God. The same thing. It never diminishes. So the lack of power in the churches never has anything to do with the source. But it has to do, everything to do with us, the vessels of God's power. Sometimes it looks like our lines are down. Have you driven to some of the lines down? You see, it's not the source. It's us, the lines, the vessels of God's power. Now, what can we do as a church to see our spiritual power restore or increase? Do we want more power in this church? Amen. Maybe I'm wasting my time, you know, and we don't want. Do we want more power in this church? Do we want to experience God's power to the max? That's the question. So if we want it, what can we do? Are we serving God with power, or are we just another social club or charity organization? See, I cannot get used to churches that just want to be a social club, you know, a social organization. We got to be more than that. We are the children of God. We are the family of God. We got to be more than just, you know, doing activities here and there. It's got to be more. There's got to be more. I've seen it in the past. And I want to see it again. I want to see revival. I want to see a church that is filled with God's power. And not just, you know, another Red Cross or Salvation Army. Or we got too many of those. We don't have to be them. We don't have to be like Jesus said to the apostles. If your righteousness is not bigger than the ones of the Pharisees, then you're in trouble. The Pharisees did all kinds of activities. Were they saved? No. Were they going to heaven? No. Did they have a relationship with Christ? No. They killed Christ. And many of these organizations, it's just a veneer of good reforms and things that they do. And many times they do it in hopes. Yes, they want to help people. And they do a lot of good. But you know, they do it also for themselves. To feel good about themselves and perhaps to earn salvation. And that is the wrong way to do anything for God. You see, are we engaged in a power struggle with one another? Or are we living in the power of God? If we want to see our power restore or increase in this church, you know what we need to do, right? If we lose the electrical power, we call, you know, I'm not going to announce the names of the company. But there's a few, right? There's a few of them. But if we want our power restored or increased, there's only one that we need to call. The source, our God, who is our power source, and surrender to His will. Surrender to Him. And the first thing that we need to do is to submit to God with humility and, point number one, weakness. Weakness. There's nothing worse than the weakness that we feel sometimes when the power goes out. Right? We cannot cook. We cannot take a bath. I mean, for some people, that's not a big deal. Yeah, no shower for me. Right? But for me, you know, I like my showers. Right? And it's very limiting. And it lets us know that we're weak. And in the spiritual sense, if we want power, the first thing that we need to do is we need to recognize and we need to be weak in front of the Lord. Now, this doesn't mean weakness in the sense of that we are weak against sin, right? I'm not talking about that. Or weak to do God's work. No, I'm talking about weakness in the sense that we realize that we are not the source. That God is the source. That we depend on Him. That we are humble before His presence. That we depend on God. And when we come to that place, when we realize that He is the source and that we are weak, then God responds. And the first thing that He gives us is what? Grace for the weak. Grace. Grace for the weak. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul was experiencing something horrible in his life. So much so that he, being an apostle, and every time that he prayed, God listened to him, right? And if anybody needs healing or anything, God listened to him. But he had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed three times, and God said, has that ever happened to you? God goes like this, no way. No. And it's very frustrating. It's very frustrating. Sometimes I get frustrated with God. Anybody else here? Come on, be honest. I mean, unless you're super spiritual. Maybe we have some super spiritual here that say, I never get. I always sing His praises every morning. Well, you know. Then teach me your secret so I can be like you. But sometimes I get frustrated. Like Paul was frustrated. But he said to me, when God finally answered, he said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. You want an answer? This is the answer, my grace. I give you my grace. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, grace is for the weak. It's not for the strong. Can I say that again? Grace is for the weak, not for the strong. Remember the many times that Jesus had to confront the Pharisees and others, the scribes. And he says, hey, I didn't come for you. You're fine. You know, being sarcastic, right? You're fine. You know, the ones that are not sick don't need a doctor. You're fine. I came for the weak. I came for the tax collectors, for the prostitutes, for the ones that are lost in sin. And they are weak and they cannot save themselves. I came for them. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. In what? In humility. When we come before the Lord and say, God, I cannot do this anymore. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, in my needs, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see what's going on here? The grace. And through the grace of God, we can endure anything. Anything. Because through that, He makes us strong. And it's not our strength. I repeat it again. Because at the end it says, the power of Christ rests upon me. That's our strength. Jesus, Paul said one time, I can do all things in Christ or through Christ. Who what? Who strengthens me. So weakness, there's grace for the weak. There's also glory for God. Glory for God. It's something that happens in your life and in my life comes from God's power is so that God receives the glory. Look what it says in verse 7 in 2 Corinthians 4. But we have this treasure. What is this treasure? Well, you have to read the chapter. The treasure is Jesus Christ. You see? Jesus in me is the hope of glory. It's my strength. It's my source. It's everything for me. And we have it in earthen vessels. You know what that is? Your body. And if you read back in Genesis 2, right? We were made from what? From the dirt, right? I mean, that sounds rough, but it is true. We're from the dirt. You know, I don't know all these people that think that they're better than others. Dirt. We're 70% water. 70% water. And the rest is dirt. Hey, that's who we are. But it says, but we have a treasure inside. Huh? It doesn't matter the package. Have you ever received gifts? You know, to me, okay, some people put so much emphasis in the outer thing. And they put all this wrapping and the bowl and sprinkles and wow. And then you open and it's, Like it happened to me, my first nativity in 1980 something, right? And everybody in my family gave me the same. I guess I needed to shave or something. Everybody gave me the same green bottle of Brut 33. You know what I'm talking about? Smells nasty. And I got one. Okay, thank you. The second one, Brut. Like seven. I think I still have one around the house somewhere. I go like this to the chicken. When I, you know. They run away from that thing. So it doesn't matter. See, my wife, she's like that. She has to put the, you know, like in one of those bags and then puts like the wrapping paper. You know what I'm talking about? Beautiful stuff. I mean, if you give me a gift wrapped in a newspaper, but it's good, that's what matters to me. Right? You can give me $1 million wrapped in toilet paper if you want to. I don't care. It's the treasure. It's what's inside, right? See, we are earthen, but the treasure is the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. It's never about you or me. It's about what is inside, the treasure, Christ in me. The Bible says that our bodies, yes, our bodies, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we have a treasure inside. And it's all for God's glory. It's also for the growth of the church. When we become weak, individually, we're full of grace and we give glory to God. But collectively, as a group, there's growth for the church. If I grow and you grow, then the church will grow. But we need to be weak before the Lord. A proud church will never grow. It says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name, Christ, Christian, we have his name. This verse is for you and for me. And it says, shall humble, you see the weakness there? Shall humble themselves and pray. To pray, you need to humble yourself too. Right? If not, it's not a prayer. It's like the prayer of that, you know, Pharisee that would say, remember the Pharisee and the tax collector? And the Pharisee was saying, thank you, I'm not like these people and that people. And then the other one, the tax collector, was saying, have mercy on me. Now that's a prayer. See? Prayer goes with humility, not with pride. Prayer is a sign of humility and submission to the Lord. Okay? It's not a grocery list. It's worship. It's submission. It's love to the Lord. You humble yourself. You pray. You seek my face, says the Lord, and turn from your wicked ways. When you do those things, then you see the blessing. You see the growth. Then I will hear. Then I will forgive. And then I will heal. It's time for us, church, and I said it before. And sometimes we have a little problem in this church with prayer. I'm just going to say it. If you get mad, don't care. Okay? But sometimes we have a little problem with prayer. It's like we don't want to pray in the church when we ask for prayer. And to me, that is a sign that we need to repent and we need to pray. Okay? We need to repent and we need to pray. Because that's the only way that God is going to bring growth and revival. There's not going to be revival or healing or forgiveness if we are always struggling to pray. It should be a struggle to see who's going to pray first. Finding one another for praying in a church. Secondly, if we want to find this source of power, it's found in God's Word. In God's Word. Because the Word of God is a powerful Word. It is powerful. We see it in Hebrews 1:3. Who is who? Christ. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. The word of God is powerful. It's powerful. It's powerful in creation because the creation came out from God's word. God said, let there be light. Just spoke everything. See, people in some churches now, they talk about this new thing. Oh, you got to speak. Have you heard that? Speak things into existence. You got the power to name it and claim it. And you say it with positivity and they will come through. No. The only one that has that power is Jesus Christ. He spoke. and there was creation. And then he spoke again, and there was salvation. Because we are saved by the word. In Romans 10:17, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. And what is faith? Salvation. Right? And hearing from what? From the word of God. Nobody will be saved except from the word of God. No one is going to be saved by looking at the stars and the moon. Now that might bring them closer to God and to seek his face, but they got to have a revelation from the word for creation and for the second creation. Secondly, it's a purifying word. A purifying word. The word of God purifies. Now, sometimes it's gentle and, like a good exfoliating cream. How do I know that's that word? I don't use exfoliating. Well, but I heard it before, right? It's gentle, but sometimes it's rough. But it's also is good for the... It reminds me of the soap that we used in Cuba. I am not kidding you. I think it was a washing soap, like for washing the clothes. It looked like a brick. All right? I mean, like a brick. I think it was Russian or something, And that was rough. Can you imagine taking a shower with a brick? It's rough. Hey, but it got you clean, right? It's good. So Jesus said, now you are clean. You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Who were clean? The disciples. Every time you hear God's word, God is bringing purification in your life. Every time you hear a message, every time you read the word at home, every time you hear a message on the radio, on TV, God's word is purifying. Has that ever happened to you? That you're going through stuff in your life and you come to church, you hear the word, and it helps you out. It cleanses you. Or you read it at home and you're filled with peace. That is the purifying word. When we get into God's word, it's like if you would put yourself, I don't know, this is stuff that comes to my mind. Sometimes it works, sometimes, But it's like if you put yourself inside of a spiritual gigantic washing machine and it washes you, It doesn't take your sins away for salvation, but it purifies you from all the burdens and preoccupations and worries and issues that you have in your life. And then it's a purposeful word. It's filled with purpose. It's filled with purpose. This verse right here is one of the main reasons that I'm still preaching. I don't know how much longer I can do it or I will do it, but this right here, it is. Because if it was for tangible results and things that you could see, I would have quit long time ago. It is tough. But look what the word of God says in Isaiah 55. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. See, that's my hope, that I'm not wasting my time here. That whatever I'm preaching that is God's word, one day, I might not see it, but one day it will bring some return, some fruit, because that's what the Bible says. It will not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And I know I'm not the only preacher. Sometimes preachers, we think that we're just, preaching through the air. And it's coming from here, and it's coming out from the other side. But this is the purpose of God. And my job is not to change anybody. My job is to preach it. And God's purpose will come through in His time. Thirdly, we find a source of power when we come to God in what? In worship. It is important to worship. To worship God. Now, Paul and Silas were sent to prison. What was their crime? They liberated a demon-possessed girl. That was their crime. And they put him in the worst possible place, in the worst jail available for the worst criminals in town. That's what they put him. And probably, if what I read is correct, you know, in one of those things, I forgot the name, that covered your neck and your hands. It was not comfortable place to be. Dark, smelly, filled with insects and rodents, and smelly, horrible place. What were they doing? At midnight, Paul and Silas were what? Praying and singing. In Acts 16, hymns to God. And the prisoners were doing what? They were listening. You see, there's always people around us watching and listening. What are we going to do in whatever situation? And then we see the explosion of God's power through prayer, through praise, through worship. It says, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everybody's chains were loose. I pray, brothers and sisters, that our foundations in our lives will be shaken today. That every door of every heart will be open. And that every chain will be loosed as we are filled with God's power. We also see God's power when we praise Him, when we pray, when we become weak. We see God's power at work. At work. To do two main things. Number one, at work to save us. To save us. It says in Ephesians 1:19, and what are the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Would I be exaggerating today if I say that God used all the power in heaven to save us? Is that an exaggeration? Did He use only 10%? 20%? I believe He used all the power. Because the Bible says that He gave us who? His Son, Jesus Christ. And He talks here about the great power, the mighty power, according to the working of His mighty power. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8 and 9 that no one is saved by works. But here in this verse, it says that we are saved by works. So, I mean, what is going on here? Well, it says in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, it says that no one is saved by what? By human works. But God, according to John 5:17, the Bible says that God is always working. You see, He worked from eternity. He's still working today, and He continued to work. So yes, our salvation is by works, but not ours. By the work of God. By the work of God the Father. Planning, by the work of God the Son, executing, and by the work of the Holy Spirit, applying the salvation in our lives. Yes, salvation is by works, by the work of the Father, by the work of the Trinity. Now, He works this power for our salvation, and point B, to use us for His glory. Now, if God would come to you tonight, like He did to Solomon, and He would ask you, all right, I'm going to give you whatever you want. And He would say to you, what power would you choose? The power to perform miracles or the power that I can use you for my glory? What would you choose? You see, some people would say, I want to do miracles, you know. But miracles come and go. But a life that is used by God for the glory of God, to me, that is more powerful, impactful, and important than just a miracle. And miracles, I believe in miracles, all right? But you see, our life in Christ is already miraculous because we have been born again. But to consistently be used by God for His glory, day in and day out, now that is powerful. In Ephesians 3:20, it says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works where? In us. You see? And that is what I'm talking about. Some people just want the power of Jesus to bring them to salvation. But I want the power of Jesus to continue to work in my life, to change me, and to use me. And if everyone in this church would have that desire, we would have revival in no time. We would grow. But we have to be filled with this power and this desire. See, and as we get this power, we receive this power in order to become what? Rich, right? Famous. No. To become witnesses. Witnesses. Witnesses to Christ. You see, in the case of the apostles, they were eyewitnesses. In our case, we're still witnesses of God. Everyone who has ear, let him hear. We have heard. We have seen. We have believed. We are the witnesses of the change in salvation that Christ has done in our lives. We need to testify. First of all, we need to testify of the gospel of Christ. In Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power. You see, the power is not from us. We receive it. We receive it when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And by the way, if you're a Christian, you know what you have? You know who you have? The Holy Spirit. So if you have the Holy Spirit, what do you have? Huh? Power. You got power. You don't have to call any generator or any company. You got power in Christ. And you have to turn the switch, you know, inside of you. But you got the power already. And then He says, you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Witnesses of me, we need to witness the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ. And also we need to witness the greatness of Christ. The greatness of Christ. That's what the word means, to magnify the Lord. You know what means to magnify? A magnifying glass is something that makes you see things what? Bigger, right? Bigger than what they are. So when we magnify God, are we making God bigger? Can we make God bigger? No. But we can make Him look bigger in the eyes of the people that are blind, that don't believe in Christ, and give Him all the glory, make Him big in the eyes of others. It says in Acts 4:33, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them. Oh, everything was great. Great power. Great grace. Great resurrection. Great Jesus Christ. We need to give witness to Christ. Furthermore, point six, we're almost done. This power will make us whole. He will make us whole. Because number one, we are crowned by the Spirit. Now, what do you mean by crown? I thought the crowns are in heaven when we go to heaven and we receive different rewards. Yes, but did you know that in the Holy Spirit, we are already crowned with many blessings? The Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit. If you're a Christian, you have gifts. The Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. And many other blessings in James chapter 1, verse 17, I believe. It says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light. We have been crowned with many blessings. It says in Romans 15, 13, now may the God of hope fill you. May the God of hope. What a God we have. All the other false gods out there, they are God of despair. They are angry gods. You have to human sacrifices and all kinds of stuff. God is a God of hope. And he says, may the God of hope fill you with what? With all joy, with all peace, with all faith in believing that you may abound with all hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you see the crowns that I'm talking about? When you are a Christian, you are filled with joy and peace and believing and hope and power and salvation and eternal life and forgiveness and all the stuff that comes from God. That is a crown of life. That is a crown of victory that we have. And speaking of victory, did you know that we are complete in Christ? Did you know that? Did you know that? The Bible says in John, 1 John chapter 5, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son doesn't have anything. It doesn't have life. We are complete in Christ in this life and for the next. We don't need anybody else. It says, look what it says in the Bible. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. We don't need anybody else. We don't need anything else. We got all the blessings, all the salvation, all the power, everything that we need. We already have it in Christ. This is what Christ told the woman, the Samaritan woman. Hey, you drink this well water, tomorrow you're going to, pick it up again. But if you drink the water that I give, forget about it. You'll have it forever. Because you have rivers of living water flowing in you, as he says in John chapter 7. Finally, this power that we have is a gift from heaven for us to what? To win. To win. Last night, the thing that I like, they started praying like at 11 at night. I just watched a little bit. And they were losing. And they were losing big. And I said, I'm just going to go to sleep. I cannot watch this misery. I don't want to watch people lose. I don't want to watch the news of all the misery that's going in North Carolina. Or the war in Israel. There's a lot of losing things going on in this world. And I went to sleep. I said, forget it. I'm not watching that anymore. I got up this morning. I saw the news. They won. By one point. At the last second. They won. You know what? Win. God has given us the victory in Christ. I remember a preacher one time. And he was hyping up the crowd. And he would say, how was it? He said, we are winners and we came to win. That's it. He said it several times. Then people got excited, right? But that's what it is. See, God has given us the victory to overcome fear. Do you ever get afraid of anything? Right? If it's not one thing, it's the other. It says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? What are we talking about today? Power, love, and a sound mind. Now, did you notice something? When you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit with a capital S, right? And that's a powerful, all-powerful Holy Spirit, God in us, right? Not a spirit of fear and all those things. But does it say there, Holy Spirit? What does it say there? Spirit. What spirit is that? Your spirit and my spirit. Okay? This is not the Holy Spirit. Of course, we have the Holy Spirit. But this is talking about our redeemed, our renewed, our justified and sanctified spirit that is in contact, full and continuous contact with God. Do you know that your spirit is always in contact with God? Always. And we can only worship God in our spirit. As it says in John 4:24, it says God is the Spirit, and we can only worship Him in spirit and in truth, in spirit, in my spirit, not in the flesh. You see, many churches praise God in the flesh. Ooh, you seen those, you know, lights and smoke and singers and, man, forget about Broadway. Some of these churches are awesome, but it's in the flesh or it's in the soul, you know. You see, our spirits are already sanctified in Christ. And we do not feel an ounce of fear in our spirit. We are victorious and winners in our spirit. Now, our soul and our bodies, that's another thing. We struggle. That's what we need, sanctification. Okay? Number two, win to overcome the world. How do you overcome the world? It says in 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God, whatever, whoever, this is for any Christian. This is not for high and enlightened and super Christian, seminary trained, revivalist, you know, for any Christian that has repented of their sins and trusted in Christ. Whatever is born, whoever is a child of God, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What is it? Our faith. Our faith in Christ. And what is the world? The planet? No. The sinfulness of the world. The philosophies of the world. The immorality of the world. The wickedness of the world. Please pray for the pastors. Okay? Pray for pastors everywhere. It seems like every week there's another pastor. It's hard. It's a hard job. I don't know which one is worse, policeman or pastor. You know, it's, right? One deals with the forces of evil in the world, and the other deals with the forces of evil from the other world. But God has given us the victory. So fear the world, just in case. You say, well, what about this? And what about that? Well, point C. We, in Christ, overcome anything. Just anything. Read chapter 8 later in Romans. It says, in all these things, what are all these things? I'm just going to give you a few that I got from the chapter. What are all these things that the Apostle Paul is talking about? Famine, peril, death, tribulation, persecution, the high or the depth, the present or the future, the principalities, anything, you name it, anything that comes against you in this life, you can win. You are a winner in Christ. Because he says, in all these things, it doesn't say we are conquerors. What does he say? Can you help me? Sometimes I don't understand English so much. We are what? More than, how could I? It, that's like 110, when people say, oh, I'm going to give 110%. Well, it's the same thing. This is 120% right here. We are more than conquerors. You already conquered. But our victory in Christ is so great, so powerful, so complete that we are more than conquerors. But it says, through him who loved us. So to finish, I want to ask again. Do we have power in Christ? The answer is yes. We have the same power that the early church had. Same power. This is a power that works in our weakness through the Word of God and our worship of the Lord. This power makes us whole in Christ. And he leads us to win in the name of Jesus as we witness about Christ to others. I just have a few questions to finish. And it's this. Are we willing? See, if we want this kind of power, we need to be willing to do some things. If we want the status quo, then forget all that I preached today. Don't even watch it online. Just forget it. And let's, you know. But if we want more power, if we want the full expression of God's power, the manifestation of God's power in our life and in this church, then think about these questions. Are we willing to humble ourselves and pray? Are we willing to follow the teachings of God's word? Are we willing to testify and witness about Jesus? Are we willing to submit to the Holy Spirit? Are we willing to use the power that we have in Christ? I pray that all of us that are hearing this message today or will hear it on Facebook, that all of us will be filled with God's power like the first church was. Everybody there, everybody was filled with the Holy Spirit and with the power of God. And you know what happened, right? Simple people like you and me, fishermen, you know, workers, blue collars, like they call it, but they were filled with power. And it was amazing what God can do with people that are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for all your blessings. I want to thank you that the power has been restored. The electrical power has been restored here in the church and in most of our homes. We thank you for that. We don't take it for granted. We praise you. We glorify you for that. And we also want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray, Lord, that you can also restore our spiritual power. And if we have it, that you can increase it more and more so that we can be a church that explodes for you. Not in a bad way, but in an explosion of power and joy and praises to our King. Fill us, Lord, and help us as we go home this morning. And be with all of us, Lord, and be with those who are still affected with the hurricanes. Protect us from the new one that is forming and be with those brothers and sisters who were not able, for whatever reason, to be here today. In Jesus' name we pray, and we give you thanks. Amen. God bless you all. We'll see you. We'll see you next Sunday.